track at the wall. We are tied.
Look at this. He's landing the ball. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm dropping a big leg. Over for the cover.
It's over. Unbelievable.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
Awesome. He got it.
That's our connection. Look what all you've got. The blind man can see. You're here for WWE War. That's our connection. Simulcast, both on YouTube and on all podcast applications. Of course, you can subscribe to both and don't miss a thing. We have a lot of content exclusive to each, including Ryan Gray and myself right now, counting down every single WrestleMania match ever from 402 to 1, done in short format. They're all less than 1 minute every match on YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. A lot of WrestleMania content coming for WrestleMania season, Marcus. We have match previews. We have the counting down the greatest performers. And then who knows what else will show. I'm sure we'll do some tier lists. Those always pop up as well. So be sure to check those out. And don't miss a beat, my friend. And speaking of tier lists, you and I did one a little while back. If you haven't caught it, you should go check it out because it's pretty popular. We ranked all of the WrestleManias by rewatchability. So that was just if I'm laying down, going to bed, or just want to relax and I'm feeling under the weather, maybe want to just have a good time with my buddies, whatever it is. Yeah, we're just chilling. What are the most rewatchable manias in order? So was it best to worst? Was just what ones would we want to watch and why? So that was a lot of fun. You can find that on the YouTube channel on North South Connection. So, buddy, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Again, we're in full effect for WrestleMania season. I'm enjoying all the content everybody's putting out. Enjoying hopefully maybe doing some more tier lists. Definitely enjoy the one that we put out, and excited to talk about Unforgiven 2005 and No Mercy 2005.
Maybe we'll see. Not as fun as our last episode for sure.
Tempered excited.
Yeah, if you're new here, this podcast is about as nerdy as it gets. We're going through every pay-per-view in WWE history and breaking it down with a plus minus metric based system. We do this on a seasonal format. What's the season, you say? Well, we start with a pay-per-view following WrestleMania in every given calendar year, and we end with WrestleMania the following year. So this season started with Backlash 2005. It's going to end at WrestleMania 22, and then we'll jump to a new season. We're all over the place. And when we say plus minus system, we basically look at everything across wrestling history in a spectrum of what is the most replacement level you can get: average match, average commentary, average build. If something's better than that, we give it a plus one. If it's worse than that, we give it a minus one. We take all of our match grades, we average those out, aggregate it all, and that's our final score. And then we're going to stack rank every pay-per-view ever based on that formula. The most we can give on each end is a three. We give a one if it's just kind of a standard, better than average, worse than average. If it's really good or kind of bad, we give it a two. If it's all-time great or all-time shit, we give it a three. So that's kind of how high and how low you can go on our system. We do that a series of categories, Marcus. You want to run down what those categories are?
Yes, I do. We've got build, commentary, atmosphere, notable moments and importance, our match grades, card structure, rewatchability, and all-time matches. And for an all-time match to be a plus, it is something we both agree is 4.25 and above. And for it to be a minus, it is something we both agree is 0.75 and below.
Correct, sir. All right, let's kick things off. We're covering two pay-per-views here tonight on this episode. We're going to kick things off with Unforgiven, September 18th, 2005, from the Ford Center in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. 8,000 in attendance, 243,000 buys. Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler, and Jonathan Coachman in the booth, as this is a Raw-only pay-per-view. We had one match on Sunday Night Heat, and I'm going to say, look at me, as Rob Conway takes on Tajiri and defeats him by pinfall. We'll talk more about Conway in a future episode, I'm sure. Good old Robert. And then we'll head into the show itself, as Ric Flair kicks us off by defeating Carlito to win the Intercontinental title, just under 12 minutes, beat them with the figure four. I went 3 stars. I think it's a pretty good opener. Flair's in his bag here, busting out all the old face tricks he has. He's kind of been a little bit lost soul without Triple H around, but he pops back up here. We'll talk about it in the build, but he really just evaporates Carlito backstage prior to the show to set this match up, and then just humiliates him here, wins the IC title. Odd treatment of Carlito. But it was a cool moment for Flair, wins his first ever IC belt. And we'll talk about the kind of show it off throughout the night with some skits. But what'd you think of the match itself, Marcus?
It's classic Flair, be fair to Flair, but standard fair for Flair, which is fair to Flair. So I went 3, but it is definitely a assassination a bit of Carlito. So we don't love that. And we'll see how they kind of repair him if they do as the season goes on. But this is a feel good moment for Flair. Cool to see him get the Intercontinental title in the little post-match promo. We go on next to the returning Trish Stratus, our women's champion, teaming up with Ashley Massaro, taking on Victoria and Tori Wilson, with Candice Michelle at ringside.
It's his devils.
Yep. And a little doggy out there too. I went 2.5. A lot of this is on the strength of Trish and Victoria. I think, you know, you're going to have your Charlotte and Becky's, and you're going to have your, you know, your Bailey and Sasha's. But for my money, if I need any two dance partners when it comes to women's wrestling in WWE, give me Trish and Victoria all day. Love their chemistry.
Great chemistry for sure. And Trish's return really carries this. She's back as a face. The heel run is dead. Two over when she came back. And they actually were a little heavy on the heel side at this point with the women, which is rare. Ashley had won the Diva Search. Still very green. Really shouldn't have been out there. But at least here, she's got Trish to carry her a bit. And Trish looks great in her return. Victoria and Tori, like you said, they're teaming with Candice. They're kind of Vince's. They call them Vince's devils or whatever, but they're Vince's kind of, and how to present valets. I don't know, try to say it in a way that isn't too egregious, but basically it's harem on Raw right now. This is we're in the month right now, by the way. We'll talk about it a bit, but this is like, everyone always talks about the Attitude Era. The fall of 05 into like most of 06 is probably the worst era of WWE television when it comes to just like gratuitous nonsense and over the top gross stuff. Everyone's yoked out of their mind. They're all juiced up. Vince is just doing some crazy shit. They just returned to USA. For whatever reason, they just went all in on everything. Just like out of control, megalomaniacal Vince stuff. Dr. Heine happens in here soon after this.
Oh my
God. All time, just like nasty. It's like just bully nasty stuff. that really overtakes a lot of the company over the next year or so. Just a weird attitude shift. I don't know if it was them trying to recapture the magic of some of the Attitude Era style that they felt they had lost, but they really kind of go off the reservation here, led by Vince, over the next year or so, really. All right, so 2 1/4. Next match, Big Show versus Snitsky. Big Show wins this. I mean, it wasn't much to it. I think Snitsky just attacked him on Raw. They had a match. I went 2 stars. It's kind of whatever.
Yeah, and then Big Show tries to kill him with the ring bell after the match. I didn't expect that. I went 2.5. I went 2 1/4. Excuse me on this.
Big
match.
Snow could have been if Big Show and Al Snow ever were a team.
After a double trouble crap on a stick. Oh man. I still think about that Billy Gunn pop where he just slaps his leg.
Oh, the best. That's the best. You know why? They were excited. They wanted to get home.
Up next, we've got Shelton Benjamin taking on Curran White. Of course, this is the character revolution of Chavo Guerrero. I went with 2. Shelton picks up the win here, and I went with a 2. They gave them a lot of time, it felt like, to work. So I felt like they kind of dug themselves out of a little bit of a hole they found themselves in, but less than you would want from these two.
Yeah, I mean, look, my feelings on Chavo are well documented across all of our podcast families here. Not the biggest fan, especially in this era. He looks ridiculous as Curran White. The idea of the gimmick is funny and like the way they present it, but he's so massive. Way too much bulk on him at this point for his frame. I know we're Haas fans, you and I, but like this is like an unhealthy level of bulk on him. So the gimmick is whatever. It gets kind of mercy killed pretty quickly for sad reasons, but probably helped Chavo in the long run. Weird use of Shelton here. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I wish that now we look at this character, I wish they would have flipped it a little bit because I know they bring in Nemeth to be the caddy. Mm-hmm. And I almost wish like if the caddy did more wrestling and Chavo was the one doing more managing.
Yeah, they could have done something like that.
Worked out a lot better.
And of course, Kerwin, the name is a joke on Kerwin Silfies, the longtime director or whatever for WWE.
Shawn Michaels' doctor.
Yeah, yes, as well. I don't know. The whole thing is just was just weird. And then he loses after he just debuted. And I'm fine. I'm not going to complain about Shelton ever winning a match. You know, he deserves to win it. But Kerwin losing right after debuting is weird. I thought the match was kind of whatever. I went 1.5 stars. The highlight really is the theme song. Yeah,
baby. I wake up every morning, can't wait to embrace the day. I take my coffee by the pool.
I can feel the
is that a real Sinatra song, or is it like a knockoff?
It's got to be a knockoff.
It sounds real. Whoever did it. Really sounds like him. I don't know if it was a real Sinatra song that they brought in, but I don't think so. It definitely sounds like him, though. Whoever did it is a really good act. I pass my
picket. They should have got this guy to do the Deuce and Domino theme.
Oh, God, I love the Deuce and Domino.
I do love that theme. Fence and gaze across my new mowed lawn. I never thought my life could be this good.
I have a brand new car. I drive it to my country club. It's in my gated neighborhood. What a bop.
Now we're talking.
I'll throw the same era, Sinatra and the Greasers, I guess.
They needed a Sammy Davis Jr. in the group.
All right. Anyway, get to a stalling. Matt Hardy versus Edge, though, is a great match. That's next. It's inside a steel cage. 4 stars for me. Matt gets his revenge from SummerSlam. All-time moment. He gets a leg drop off the top of the cage. This is what people wanted to see when Hardy came back and get his revenge on Edge. And it really makes up for the SummerSlam loss. So I love this match. I think it's great. It's obviously the match of the night for me. And it really hits hard.
Yep. Same for me. This is exactly what it should have been. Everybody looks jacked. Everybody looks ripped. Everybody looks tan. Great color in this match. Edge really taps one. It's good stuff. This is classic steel cage, warfare, if you will, in WWF. This is really good stuff. Next up, we've got for the World Tag Team title, some of that new talent I was talking about on the last episode, as we've got Hurricane and Rosie losing their titles to the newly debuting Cade and Murdoch. That is Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. I went 2 3/4, and I texted you watching this match. I did not remember Trevor Murdoch being this good. He's
really good. He's great.
Like, he debuts and he is instantly like one of the best workers on the whole entire show.
Yeah,
like, he is insane.
The team was good. The team was good. It was well regarded even at the time. Like, everyone was excited. I remember it because we were excited that, okay, we have like a real team again. They have a look, they have a brand, they have a name, they have music. Like, it just felt like a throwback team. And they were both really good workers. Like, Cade was always fairly regarded as a fine worker. And Murdoch was great. Yeah, I mean, bumping, in control as a heel, talking shit. He's a guy that should have been much more than the shitbag NWA champion in 2024 or whatever it is now. He deserved a much better run. He was really, really good. And believable if you want to say he's related to Dick Murdoch. Like, he really aped him well, like, it as a worker. So, yeah, it was great. This was one I was very happy to see them show up and win the tag titles here. 2.5 for me on this title match.
Yeah. 2 3/4 for me.
Yeah. All right. Shawn Michaels back in the saddle as a face here. Takes on Chris Masters. It's Masters' first big feud. Michaels back to being a face after the Hogan stuff. Pretty basic match. Pretty basic setup. You know, it's Shawn versus a big man, which always worked really well. Masters is underrated as a worker. Especially with his power offense. I think at the time he got a little more hate than he deserved. For sure, I went 3.5. I think it's a very good match.
3 3/4 for me. I was really surprised. When Shawn Michaels like wants to be good, he can be really good like this. And you can see him be in that category of guys like Angle and Benoit and Guerrero this season. We've seen just kind of churn out these like high caliber matches. This is good.
Hot take. Shawn Michaels is a great wrestler. Hot takes here.
When he wants to be sometimes, he can be all right. Yeah, this was pretty good. All right. Our main event of the
evening Masters. The one thing he has mastered at this time is the timing on that entrance with the dun, dun, like, you know, it's beautifully, beautifully choreographed. Is
that? And that master lock is really over too.
Mm. Yeah.
That should get some shine. All right, our main event of the evening, the reason we are all here, is John Cena defending the WWE title against new challenger, Kurt Angle. I think Angle is going to technically win by disqualification, I think it is. There's some silly business there with Bischoff. But 3.5, it's fine. It's got decent intensity. It feels like under-delivering for what you expect from Kurt Angle. I guess it is, you know, the big drop off from Vengeance and WrestleMania. You've seen what he can do this year. So 3.5 kind of feels like the floor of what he can do.
It's kind of low, but it's also just
It's weird. It's weird. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't really know what to make of it. It's a fine match, but something's missing.
Yeah, it's low for Cena. In this run, we talked about it last episode. He's had a lot of bangers on pay-per-view as champion. This is where we start to go downhill with the Cena character, both in the build and the presentation of Angle as the great worker. Cena can't wrestle, right? That's how they present it. It doesn't help him that Cena doesn't win. Honestly, I know they try to build Cena as having this eventually, right? This epic title reign and this guy that's going to, hold the bell for a while and be your torchbearer. And I don't know if they already had the Money in the Bank thing in mind at this point. I think an Angle win here and then Cena winning it back at Survivor Series could have helped both guys. It would have helped re-elevate and reintroduce Angle as a lethal wrestling machine. Makes Cena a little relatable. He just gets outworked here, and then maybe he comes back 2 months later and he's learning some tricks and he beats Angle clean there. I think it would have been a better use of both these guys here in this match. And if you want to protect Cena a little bit, you just have Bischoff run some chicanery, right? Like he changes the rules on the fly. He runs out some muscle to help, whatever it is, and then Cena loses. So I think that could have helped both guys if they would have taken that approach versus the DQ and the way they present it. So still a really good match, 3.5 from me too, but definitely underperforms. A total war score of our matches. So we take my match grade, your match grade, we take the average of that. Then we go to the baseline 2.5. And if that average is higher or lower, that's what we give each match. That nets out to a 3.5 for us. So that's on the lower end of good in-ring for our stuff. Like 3.5 is probably like shaky in-ring show, but still kind of good. That's where that landed, which I think it makes sense given what we talked about. All right, let's get to our categories here. For build, gave a point for Flair just destroying Carlito backstage for being a slacker and a loser in front of this one. Carlito's dating Trish, right? Or he's flirting with Trish backstage or whatever it is. Or is it someone else? He's with someone.
Is it Maria?
Oh, man, it's definitely he's with a diva, and Flair just eviscerates him. Basically calls him a fucking loser right to his face.
The Trish stuff is later. It's next year. So I think it's Maria here.
Maybe it's Maria. He's definitely got a girl with him, and Flair just destroys him. And then he beats him. So it's really good. It sucks for Carlito, but it was really well done. A point for Masters confronting Sean. Wants to beat him down. Beats him down. Wants to make a name for himself. It's his first feud. A point for the Hardy Edge Lita War. Just continuing on, soaked with reality. A point for Kade and Murdoch, the defeated Hurricane and Rosie in a non-title match to earn the title shot here. And then a point for refocusing Angle as a wrestling machine away from some of the comedy stuff. He's been a wrestler all year with Shawn and everything else, but this really felt like the stupid bestiality stuff. So this really felt like a refocus of him just being an assassin with no other bullshit in the mix.
Yeah, a much-needed course correction for Angle. For our build, we got Trish returns after injury. Excuse me, and she randomly gets repositioned as a face, helping Ashley after being red hot as a heel, and never loses the title while she's out injured either. She just holds the title, and then she's kind of accepted. Snitsky attacks Big Snow on Raw for no reason. Sean trolls Hogan once more on Raw, the one that was in person for. I think it just goes back to being a generic face, like nothing really ever happened. They pivot very quickly to the Chris Masters program. Kerr and White in general. Cena and Bischoff continuing the tried and really played out authority figure versus rebel babyface.
We've seen it so much since like 97. It just felt like, oh God, again. Cena and Bischoff.
It's the microwave version. Like you didn't do any of the prep that you have with like Austin McMahon. That's played out. We get Bischoff firing Jericho. He goes away throwing a tantrum, which again was his call. It's tough to see Jericho looks out like that.
Yeah, he's like crying. Yeah. This is dumb.
This is the build where they call out Cena for being a bad wrestler, even though he's the world champion. He's positioned as an underdog, trying to kick off, or they are kicking off the fan sentiment where they start turning on him and becomes the endless talking point of, Cena can't really wrestle, which is insane just looking back at the season, what he's done so far. Again, Cena getting booked as an underdog when he's hardly lost all year. Go back to our 2004 or 2005 to talk about how well protected he was. So a lot wrong in the build-up.
-3, not a good well-built show. Coming off one of the best built pay-per-views of all time at SummerSlam. They struggled here in the fall. It's a big snow. At least a foot of white stuff's falling. All right, commentary. Point for good talk about Carlito's lack of respect for Flair and how that plays into the match. Coach and King did a fun job trolling Oklahoma's big college football loss that happened that day. Really riding JR. And we gave JR 2 points. He's on fire. He's in his hometown. He's feeling it. He probably didn't realize it, that this is his last show he's going to call for a little bit here because he's ends up with the intestinal issues like right after the show, pretty much. And he's gone for a bit. So he was really on fire. It's one of his better performances here in later era JR.
Yeah, unfortunately, King and Coach aren't up to task for the full night. We get King and Coach discussing Carlito's hair. That goes on for way too long. King mocks it. Coach says it's cooling in. Just arguing for the sake of arguing. Terrible commentary all throughout the Curran White Shelton Benjamin match. Awkward jokes and comments. Anytime they go back to Flair's limo celebration throughout the night, it's like three, maybe even four different segments. But it's that awkward canned WWE laugh and reaction. Right. It's really bad.
Well, and it's even in the current climate of WWE, of all the stuff that's come out, and even a guy like Flair, a lot of it's kind of tough to watch, like him basically with a group of chicks in a limo all night long, you know, his pants half down when at the end. So it's like, you know, and I try not to judge too much in the moment about it, but it's when it comes to looking back, it's a little bit tough to watch some of that stuff. And the commentary doesn't help. So it's a one for commentary. Not bad, actually, for a Raw show for us. Atmosphere, we give a point for the pop for Flair's win. The crowd goes nuts. A point for Trish when she comes out. The crowd goes nuts for her. A point, of course.
Yeah, baby. I wake up.
A point for the crowd being red hot for Hardy down the home stretch into the finish of that match. A point for the great reaction to the sickening apron of floor DDT that Murdoch gives Hurricane. The crowd's oohs and ahs. A point for the Masters entrance. We talked about the timing of that. And then a big pop for Sean as well. So
I know we're getting close to Hurricane getting rebranded as Gregory Helms. Did this kill him off as like a character? I can't remember, but like, the way the move is delivered and sold, like,
yeah, it might
very
be
believable. Like, that's it.
I know, I feel he comes like there's back a turn, match, though. But, okay. I feel like there's a turn on Rosie on TV.
Okay.
Where he says he's sick of carrying him or something like that. So we'll see. But I feel like there's something all that right. leads to that. Yeah.
Yeah. That DDT spot was nasty.
It was great.
For the atmosphere, for the minuses, we get the crowd is really red hot until Curran White shows up.
The crowd kills it. The crowd is completely dead. Curran White comes out and it's silence.
Every morning.
Come to kill the crowd.
crowd turning on Cena by the minute. And the crowd gets pissed at the end of the main event. You can kind of see the non-finish coming from a mile away.
And they want an angle to win. So
yeah.
So it's a plus four for atmosphere. So solid. And we're going heavy on Kerwin because we're never going to talk about him again. This is it. Notable moments, a point for Flair winning the IC title, a point for Ashley Massaro's pay-per-view debut, 2 points for Matt Hardy's top cage leg drop, which was awesome. And it's a super memorable spot. A point for Kaden Murdoch winning the tag titles, a point for Sean ending Masters on beaten streak, his Masters first loss. And then a point for Cena FUing Bischoff. It's kind of a big moment in their feud as the you know, rage is on with the boss versus Rebel.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is supposed to be the stunner and MSG right. moment of their feud. So for the Miases, we got Bischoff taunting and kicking Cena while he's in the ankle lock, trying to change the title on a DQ. Way too much overbooking. It's over the top stuff.
Yeah. And Bischoff hasn't been like this. Like, he's been GM for 3 years. It's not like he's new. He was power hungry in the beginning, but the last couple of years, he's been kind of balanced more. And now suddenly he's like Vince Jr. and crazed to get the belt off of Cena. I know it does build to his departure, which we'll get to, but I don't know. But plus six for moments. So a lot does happen on the show. 3.5 for match grades. We talked about it. Card structure. We start hot with Flair. We gave a point for the Flair's all night Viagra fueled partying. I mean, it's well done throughout the show. However you feel about it being rewatchable, it's structured well. And it's a fun in the moment thing where him winning the belt and celebrating the whole night. It's like a classic Flair throwback. And then a point for the cage stiff for Edge and Hardy was a great choice.
For our minuses, we got Curran White and Shelton Benjamin going way too long after the show and Snitsky match. It's a tough stretch. And a lame DQ finish to the end of the show. Messy booking.
So plus one for card structure. Rewatchability, we gave a point for Flair hitting the top rope clothesline. Gets a big pop because he never hits it. A point for Lita, just being Lita. A point for the closing stretch of Edge and Hardy with the blood, the big spots, the red hot crowd, bloody Edge crawling up the ramp after the match. A point for the apron to floor DDT by Murdoch. And then a point for Maria interviewing Chris Masters is, why do they call you the master bait? Which was really funny. She just delivers it very well. So all very watchable stuff.
Yeah, she's fun. For MISs, we got Edge and Lita recapping, cucking out poor Matt. Anything Curran White related. And, we'll put this down as a minus because there's some things that are going to happen shortly after the show. But everybody is absurdly juiced out to the gills. The HGH blow is running rampant. Mm-hmm. And then we got, of course, Ric Flair's hiney.
Yeah, we didn't need to see Flair's ass. 1 point for rewatchability overall. That Edge and Lita, that's in the video recap leading up to the match. And it's so, like, just recaps everything they did to make him look like a bitch in the hotel cuck chair. And it's like, just not, you know, just makes you really feel bad again. No all-time matches on either side. Because the total war score, Marcus, of 13.5. I would say that sounds about right. That's probably where I would have expected it to be for us. Just kind of a mid show overall.
Yeah. Watching live, like once we kind of get more shows into the project, I think this one's going to be like a typical replacement level show. There's some good, there's some bad. Just going to kind of even out as replacement level.
So it is tied with Roadblock 2016 all time, and it's going to finish above it because it has a better match. That's our tiebreaker. So the Edge and Hardy is better than anything on Roadblock. It is checked quick. So that slots it in as our 77th best show of all time out of 118. So I'd say, again, pretty much where I expected it to be, toward the back end of shit. You can see its contemporaries, Roadblock 2016, Extreme Rules 2015, Capital Punishment 2011, No Mercy 99, UK Tournament 18, Night 2. Right? Could you name anything off of those fucking shows? That's pretty much where it fits in, right around that stuff.
Yeah.
Backlash 05, WrestleMania 2000. So just very mid, just a mid show.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to our next show here tonight. We're going to be covering Great American Bash 2000.
Close.
No Mercy. Right 2005. Brand. I got our SmackDown show wrong. No Mercy 2005, October 9th from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. 7,000 in attendance, 219,000 buys Michael Cole and Taz on commentary. We had a heat match. Paul Burchill and William Regal defeat Brian Kendrick and Paul London. Some guys we haven't talked about much here. Get to them eventually. And that brings us into our opening match, which is a six-person tag featuring Road Warrior Animal, Heidenreich, and Christy Hemme against Eminem and Melina. No tag titles on the line here, but Heidenreich and Animal, I believe, are still our tag team champions. Yep. Holding the belt since they won them at the Bash. Heidenreich is full LOD here. He's got the paint. The full, this kind of Road Warriors 2000 look here. New era of Road Warriors. I went 2.5. That was a pretty fun little opener. Eminem, again, take kind of the hard luck loss. The finish is good with Christy hitting the Doomsday device, though. That was cool. So I think it's a perfectly fine opener to the show.
Yeah, 2.75 for me. It's fun. It's a nice little attraction. It's something different than just, you know, running back a regular tag match with these people involved. So we'll move on to debuting a new talent for us.
I want you to do a number on them, baby. They say you're the best. I want them. I just want them to suffer. We love you, Bobby.
We do love you, Bobby. There's, of course, that big, strong black gentleman, big Bobby Lindsay and Bobby Lashley.
Bobby, do we love
Bobby? Bobby. Taking on Simon Dean. This one was heated up real quick on TV. So this is Lashley's pay-per-view debut. And I actually like this match a good bit for a squash. I went 2.75.
Here's gassed up as Trump is on Lashley.
Do we love Bobby?
That's you right there.
I wasn't gassed up as Bobby Lashley. He looks great.
I gave it a 1. It's just a squash. It's fine. We kind of get a show long gag here like we did it on Forgiven. This one, Simon Dean brings out a big tray of cheeseburgers and he says he's going to make Lashley eat them all after he beats him. Lashley, of course, beats him. And then he makes Simon Dean eat all the hamburgers and finish the whole tray throughout the night. So you get the gags of Simon choking him down and throwing up at the end and everything. So that's more of the memorable piece than the actual match. All right, we have a four-way match for the United States Championship up next as Chris Benoit defeats Booker T, Christian, and Orlando Jordan. Pretty good little match. OJ still hanging around this U.S. title picture. Christian, this is kind of his last hurrah. He'll be gone soon, but they stick him here. They give him a little something-something. Booker T is kind of rehabbing himself as a heel. Not quite yet, but they're giving hints of it in here. So they give him 10 minutes. I like this a decent amount. I went 3.25, and this is what you get when you give the U.S. worker's title to a worker instead of being saddled as part of the cabinet for however long they saddled Orlando with it. But given to a guy like Benoit, you kind of can just have these matches on pay-per-view that click. So 3.25 for me on this one.
3.5 for me. You can kind of just see Christian just kind of pulling along Orlando Jordan in this match, getting him to where he needs to be. And, you know, hey, stick with me. You'll be all right. And they really let Benoit and Booker, I felt like, do a lot in this match. They just kind of follow a good formula. So 3.5 for me, a lot of good workers in here. Bobby. Next up, we have another debuting fresh face for us. It is Hardcore Holly taking on that hot new upstart on SmackDown, Mr. Kennedy. What I go on this match here? I went to 2.75 again. Thought they let Kennedy work.
Fucking Kool-Aid, the blue Kool-Aid. Watching this show.
Look, I'm definitely biased towards SmackDown. This is my era of SmackDown. I absolutely love it. We love you, Bobby. We love you, Mr. Kennedy. But they let him go out there and work. It was actually a lot better than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, it was fine. I went 1.75. I can't believe Holly's still here, still like being rolled out against the young guys at this point. Still a thing. Seems to come around every season. But I was a huge Kennedy mark early on. I loved him. I remember watching. I ordered this show, my buddy Andy, my buddy Jim over, and I remember like we were going nuts with the Kennedy stuff. We were saying it all night, Kennedy, because it was just so. It was such a good catchphrase and presentation of him. He's such a good talker. You know, he's candle in the wind, I guess. We'll talk about him a little bit as we move forward, but a guy that just couldn't really escape the injury bug, but had a great look and presentation for sure. All right. Brings us to our next match, and that is John Bradshaw Layfield, JBL, taking on Rey Mysterio. JBL wins the match. 13 minutes. I like the match itself. I went 3.25. It's stiff. And JBL's fine during this run. Again, this is better use of him than being in world title matches. But it continues to make Ray just look kind of weak. Like, he just won this big feud with Eddie, and he's in here jobbing to JBL. I don't know. It's just weird use of Ray for a guy that we'll see where he's headed. I know they didn't know this at this time, obviously. There was no plans for him to go where he's going to go. But it just seemed like such a letdown after he had the big Eddie feud is to come and job to JBL in a nothing match.
3.25 for me. This is kind of the definition of like a nice little match. Nice little surprise here on the card. Kind of booked themselves into a corner. But you know, you're not going to go wrong with JBL actually picking up a win on Mysterio given the size difference. So,
right.
Big card here. Another big match for us too, as it is a handicap casket match, as we got Cowboy Bob and my boy Randy taking on The Undertaker. And I went 3.5. I am drinking the blue juice tonight. But given the circumstances, 3.5 for this casket match, it felt right. It seems like a tough task to pull off, especially when you're getting Cowboy Bob rolling off the couch, literally, in the blue jeans and button-up shirt. I thought this match was cooking. I really liked it.
You're like Luke Skywalker in that Star Wars movie, drinking the blue milk or whatever the fuck you got going on here. I went 3. I mean, it's good. I like Cowboy Bob in the feud. I think it's well done. I think giving Randy like a little help made sense, but not too much help to where it's like he looks like a pussy. So Cowboy Bob is just a good mix of like legit, but an old man. So it kind of works where he's more of a stooge to run interference. And this feud continues on. I mean, it's been a really good feud. This obviously now puts Taker back out again for a little bit here. He'll return in a month, but they take a little break, give the Ortons the win. So Obviously, we got a little bit more to go in a feud. Fine match.
One thing I really like here is during the entrance, right? You get Randy and Cowboy Bob coming out, and it looks like, you know, you got this world class athlete and his dad coming out to the ring. You're like, what is this guy gonna do, right? And they get in the ring. And then you see Cowboy Bob just starting to warm up a little bit. And you could like see him just dial back the clock, turn it back to like 1986. And then, dude, this match, he is bumping around. He's moving good. When he like takes a bump, he gets up real quick. His bumping feet is really good. He's 50 some years old here. A lot of miles on that body, bumping in those.
It's not even that old. That's like 80s, a 90s. WrestleMania main eventer right now.
That's true.
He
do some TRT, he'll be good.
I mean, we'll talk about it with his unceremonious end. It's too bad because I think if he could have stayed around, it would have been a great addition to the card. I mean, you know, I liked Chavo Classic in 04, and I think Cowboy Bob's great here in 05. It just sucks the way it goes, but all right. Our death slot match after the casket match sees Juventud defeat Nunzio to win the cruiserweight title. Just under 7 minutes. Juve's got psychosis and super crazy with him. Nunzio had Vito. This is fine. I went 2.5. It's a weird little year for the cruiserweight division because they actually have a sneaky amount of talent in there, but they don't get a lot of times, and they showcase them, but sometimes they don't give them the right time and the right style to really like show off. So they make them all work like more of a grounded style during the stretch, even though like there are a bunch of guys that could fly around. I mean, I'm watching super crazy in ECW 1999 right now, every other Thursday with this podcast, we do an ECW show. And he's amazing. It's like stuff you've never even thought you'd see. And then you saw, you know, him and Hoovy here, and it's like, why are we like grounding them instead of like going nuts and flying around and starting hot? So again, they have a ton of cruiser talent, but they're not using it great during the stretch.
Yeah. Agree with everything you said, but bumped it up to 2.75, which takes us to our main event. It is for the World Heavyweight title. It is our champion, Dave Bautista, defending successfully against Eddie Guerrero. And I went 3.5. Of course, this is Eddie Guerrero's last pay-per-view match. The story going into the match is a little bit weird. It's like a redemption story for Eddie. There's kind of nowhere else to go with him after how entertaining and successful the custody battle program was with Ray. It's already time to like heat him back up and kind of, you know, test the waters as a babyface. And with the old classic, like, you know, can you trust the heel? Can you not trust him? Like Eddie's version of this match for me, it's 3.5. It's a lot higher than just about anybody else's version.
Yeah, I went 3, but I did like the story quite a bit. In my mind, I thought it was a DQ. So I was actually surprised when Bautista beat him clean. But they get almost 20 minutes and it's a great reboot for Eddie. It's a reward for all his hard work and the great stuff he did in the Ray feud and putting him over. And I like that, but Eddie doesn't cheat and then it costs him. He ends up losing, but he holds up his word, right? Cause him and Bautista kind of become friends a little bit leading up to this. Like you said, Eddie was doing the redemption stuff, trying to prove himself, but this all was leading to Eddie turning heel again on Bautista and screwing him over and winning the world title on SmackDown and having that title reign that, you know, he should have had longer, right? He kind of wilted under the pressure in 04 and they took the belt off him. They were ready to give it back to him. He had kind of reproven himself and unfortunately passes away like weeks before he was about to get the title back, has a heart attack. And obviously you could see here, I mean, he's just juiced and his years of drug abuse and steroid abuse obviously took a toll on his heart. So he passes away after this. So it's his last match. And, yeah, it sucked. I mean, that was one death I remember taking hard. It was kind of my first, like, I was 25. I was about to turn 25, so your first kind of quarter-life crisis, and it's like one of your heroes. Like, I mean, it's like Pillman and others had passed away, but this really, for whatever reason, like, this really, I remember hit me hard during that stretch after he passed away. But I think this, it sucked because Bautista, like, he got stuck with the JBL thing, and then he comes into this, and this is, like, a really cool story, and it's different. It allows Bautista to show off like some of his human side, his acting skills that he obviously we know he has now. So when Eddie passes, it's like, you know, and then he gets hurt. It really derails him as like a top star for a bit, this whole thing, Eddie passing and where it goes. And we know what it does for Ray and Chavo and good and bad for both of them. So we'll cover it all. But so yeah, I went 3 on the match and it sucks that we never get to see the second act that they had planned for it.
Yeah, the cool thing I really like at the end of this match, especially since we're a baseball adjacent inspired podcast, is the whole match almost feels like Eddie taking an at bat, and like he doesn't want to put like his best swing on the ball, right? He doesn't want to deliver it yet, which would be, you know, him cheating. Like, he knows if he cheats, he can beat Batista, but he's trying not to. And then he ends up getting put away on the spine buster, which is a move they're establishing, but it's not the Batista bomb. So you're kind of surprised to see them go home on like a signature move as opposed to a finisher. And it's kind of like, oh, like I wasn't expecting that to be the put away pitch. And then when they go to shake hands kind of at the end of the match, and Batista's like, you know, can I trust you? Can I not? And Eddie's like, you can trust me. Trust me, I'm being straight up with you. They shake hands, and then Batista turns his back, and you just see that smirk that Eddie has. And it's like, for a baseball player, you're like, okay, cool. I took that third strike information, and the next time I see that pitch, like, I'm going to knock it out of the park. And it's kind of what they're going for here when they get to that SmackDown, which is supposed to happen, where Eddie wins the title. It's like, okay, like, he took all that information. He took kind of almost like a scheduled loss in this match just to get the rematch, to know, like, he can take Batista and win the title.
Yep. Yeah, it sucks we never get to see the payoff. And what Eddie's run might have been like. I mean, would they have a rematch of Mania where Batista wins? I know there was a rumor that Shawn versus Eddie was planned at one point for Mania 22. Was the title on the line, or does Eddie lose it back to Batista before then?
Is it Royal Rumble? You know, you strap up Cena and Batista, get their belts back at the Rumble.
Yeah, felt like Mayda threw their head in. Because, I mean, it seems like Eddie and Shawn was pretty well penciled in. I don't know. Was Batista Orton? Was that the plan? I think that might have been the plan.
Batista Orton is everything I'd heard. Yeah, that was for the world title.
So the Mania, we'll talk about it, but Mania we never saw. All right, so that's a total war score of 3 for in-ring. Again, pretty similar to Unforgiven. Let's get to our categories for build. We give a point for Batista and Eddie being frenemies. Just a refreshing feud for both of them. A point for LOD and Eminem continuing their feud since the title change at the Bash. A point for the Taker Orton. Rolling on into this, a point for Hoovy winning a battle royal on TV to earn this title shot. A point for the injection new talent. Lashley, Kennedy, Charmel shows up with Booker. Jillian Hall with JBL as his a fashion consultant or what the hell she was. And then even Sylvain Grandier is repackaged as like a model. So a lot of change on SmackDown. A point for Kennedy, strong debut. He beat Mysterio and Booker on TV to really like super hype push him. And then a point for the Shinedown Save Me for the pay-per-view theme has like really added a lot to the build up to the show.
For Amiases, we've got Jillian Hall with the mole gimmick. It's stupid. It's hard to get over that. And then OJ tapping out to Benoit 4 times in less than a minute, all on TV. And he still winds up getting a title shot here.
Yeah, made no sense. The Jillian mole thing is stupid too. We didn't talk about it. She's got that like really comical giant mole in the side of her face. The joke is that Vince had just seen Austin Powers with the mole or whatever joke, and that's where
Gosh, I never heard that.
That's where he had seen it, and that's where he I don't know if it was him or someone else, but that's basically what they're lifting is the
this
mole
came thing. From Goldfinger, right? Because that's Goldfinger with the mole, right?
Fred Savage has the mole.
He has the mole, but the movie, it's the third
yeah,
one.
Yes. Gold member. And that was like 02, 03, I think. So a couple of years behind.
Of course. That's quick for them, though. That's a two-year turnaround.
Yeah. But it's ludicrous. Of course, they go way over the top with it. It's not just the mole. It's like a giant growth on the side of her face. So that's a 5 for Bill. Commentary.
Do you think that's where he got Sheamus too, and he just like sat on it till 2009?
Definitely possible. Somewhere in his subconscious. All right, commentary point for Tessa. Got a good sense for beef. Taz and Cole, they bust on the fat waiter. There's Bob's big boy during the bringing out the hamburgers. A good talk about Benoit Booker's WCW series to set up, where things are headed in this match. A point for Taz being grossed out by Jillian's mole. He's just not having any of it. A point for good handling of the casket burning angle. They mentioned the smell, the smoke. They're not over the top about it with the, it's so, they kind of ease into it and it's believable. A good point as well, mentioning Houston's wrestling history, Paul Bosch all throughout the match, all the night and the main event. And then good commentary weaving in the Guerrero family's influence on wrestling as well.
Yeah. And for our minuses, there are none. So really strong commentary performance, which gives us a war total of 7.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. I mean, Cole and Taz, we love them quite a bit. So very strong outing for them for sure on this. Okay. All right, so let's get to our next category, which is atmosphere. A point for Eminem's entrance, a point for the massive pop for the announcement of the four-way when that comes out.
The crowd goes insane.
Yeah, they love it. Pumped. A point for Booker embracing the home court advantage. He's got red on. He's got a little pep in his step. Charmel's in red, kind of really digging in on the Houston stuff. A point for the huge Benoit pop. A point for Mr. Kennedy. A point for Undertaker's entrance. A point for I Walk Alone. Batista's entrance, always iconic. A point for the good split vibe in the main event. You know, Eddie is winning some of the fans back. And then a point for the integration of WWE.com. The instant access to interviews with winners was a cool touch. Something we haven't really seen yet to this point. So that was nice.
Yeah. Before we get into the minuses, Booker and Charmel wearing the red and like really representing Houston got me like looking in like the Rockets are supposed to be really good. And so this is right before the 05, 06 season starts, which they were like, I believe, really heavy favorites for the championship. Because they had T-Mac and they had Yao Ming and Mutombo on that team. And then, of course, T-Mac gets hurt. Yao Ming gets hurt and they miss the playoffs entirely. So it's a big disappointment. But like a lot of like Houston was on the come up. So right, I thought it was pretty cool of them to wear red. A lot of hype, just a week or two away with the start of the season. For our minuses here, we've got the crowd being subdued beyond the big stars of the night. Again, like not as much as you'd probably think for like Booker, Christian. The crowd doesn't care about Sylvain mugging Holly either. That goes on for a really long time and never really gets over. And then the crowd is really checked out on the Cruiserweight title match. Again, that's a tough spot because they just witnessed a non-living vampire man or whatever get burned alive, possibly, by the 24-year-old and his cowboy dad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a total of 6. So pretty good atmosphere, though. I think it's, again, kind of an overlooked crowd historically, on pay-per-view wise. All right, notable moments. We give a point for Lashley's pay-per-view debut, a point for Charmel ripping Booker about not being Benoit's friend, how it's affecting his career. Booker's basically his own problem. She's like, you know, you're worried about Benoit and your friendship, and it's costing you these matches. You know, get your shit together. A point for Kennedy's pay-per-view debut. A point for Cowboy Bob's first pay-per-view match since WrestleMania 3, almost 20 years earlier. A point for the Orton's burning Undertaker in the casket. And then a point for Hoovy winning the Cruiserweight title.
All right. For our minuses, we've got Guerrero's last match before passing away. Mm. -3 there, really tough and unfortunate. And Christian being an afterthought and getting jobbed out after being red hot in the spring and summer. Really disappointing.
So that's a 2 for notable moments. Match grades was a 3. Card structure, we start hot with Eminem and LOD. Like, their entrances are really good. We get a pop for LOD. A point for good work rate mid-card title match. You kind of load it up and let them rip. A point for showcase matches with the new stars spread out throughout the card. And then a point for Cowboy Bob added to the match. It was a nice touch to balance out Randy a little bit with the casket stip.
For our minuses, we got the tag champs being wrapped up in the 6-person. But the titles not being involved, it could have been a cool opportunity to have the titles be defended, put some extra stakes on the match. Way too long for Holly with the match and the beatdown afterwards. A lot of airtime there. And then the Cruiserweights getting the death spot as opposed to helping out the show earlier on to, you know, help kind of keep that hot tempo going. But they got the death slot.
And the beatdown was you mentioned earlier in the atmosphere. Sylvain coming out and mugging Holly was just...
Yeah.
So that's a 1 for card structure. Rewatchability, a point for Christie's Doomsday device, which looked great. She really nailed it. Dude. A point for Lashley's explosiveness. It was so much fun to watch him on offense in the match. A point for Kennedy trolling Booker and Charmel, or trolling Booker about the loss in Charmel, then shitting on her husband to wake him up was really well done. A point for JBL's nasty clothesline from hell on Rey. And then a point for the Mexicals. They have a really fun celebration, and they do the post-match promo in Spanish, which is a cool touch.
Yeah, not mentioned as a point, but please go back and watch Cowboy Bob warming it up. See him turn back the hands of time. That was probably my highlight of the whole show. For our minuses, we got Lashley collapsing, trying to catch Simon Dean. They do a cool spot where they do a pull out of the corner, which is really hard for two big dudes like that to pull off. But Lashley loses them. We get Dean with the gross hamburger mess all night. Ugh. And then I don't know if you noticed this, but we got what's that guy's name? Chris DeJoseph, Big Dick Johnson, writing himself onto the show. He's the guy who carries the hamburgers down to the ring.
Yeah, this is just the beginning for him. I mean, he's on a ton going forward, 06 and 07.
Immediate eye roll as soon as I saw that idiot write himself on the show. And then the JBL Racist Bully promo backstage with Ray.
All right, so that's a one. No all-time matches. Gives us, I'd say, a pretty surprising final score, Marcus, of 25. That ties it with NXT TakeOver Rival. I'm going to check really quick. I'm assuming... Oh, I don't know if that TakeOver has anything. Let's see. Yeah, that's got the women, the four horsewomen match and the main event. Zayn and Owens both were higher. So so that'll finish ahead of this. Let me get back here. So that'll put it at 32nd all time. Just above WrestleMania 32. And above No Way Out 2002, which I'd say that's kind of surprising. What I say was out of 119 shows now that we've done, it finishes 32nd. So, I mean, you know, it's well into the top third, top quarter, which to me is surprising. Like, I would not have thought the show to finish this high. But I think I was overlooking stuff like it was a hot crowd. It was a well-built show. Stuff happens. Really good commentary with Cole and Taz. It kind of sneaky compiles some stuff and finished a lot higher than what I've expected coming in.
Yeah, this ended up being a really good show. Was kind of expecting it to just kind of be a carbon copy of Unforgiven. But SmackDown roster was firing on all cylinders. We've got the new talent debuting. They're embracing being in Houston. They utilized Booker for that. They had the Mexicools out there giving a promo in Spanish. And then, of course, Eddie in the main event, too. They really pull all the pieces together and really give a super solid effort.
All right, let's quickly run down our top 10 all time, and then we'll wrap up here. So our 10th best show to date is Evolution 2018 with 38 points.
Number 9 is the SummerSlam 1999 edition with a 38.25.
And tied with that, SummerSlam 1992 with 38.25 edges it out due to having the best match.
Next up is SummerSlam 2001 with a war of 39.
WrestleMania 7 is our 6th best show at 39.5.
Top 5 time. And number 5 is Vengeance 2005 from the season with a war of 41.
Just edging that out, SummerSlam 1990 with a war of 42.
Top 3, Royal Rumble 2002 with a war of 44.
SummerSlam 2005 checks in at 46.5, second all time.
And our number one show, possibly breaking the system, we'll see. It is One Night Stand 2005 with a war of 79.
We'll see if anything catches it. Just to give you the scope, our worst show of all time, Greatest Royal Rumble 2018, -17.25. So, you know, we're talking almost 100 point difference between our best and our worst show at this point. 05 continues to be a really strong year. I mean, you lop in No Mercy now. You know, we're talking, how many top 30 shows in this season? Because Judgment Day 05, not just season, calendar year, I should say. Judgment Day 05 is in there as well. That was our 28th best show. And then we talked about in our last episode how many are in the top 12 or whatever. So it's a really strong pay-per-view year in WWE history, and it's been a great season so far. We're going to continue it in our next episode in 2 weeks. We'll be covering Taboo Tuesday 2005 and Survivor Series 2005. So a couple of big shows to cover as we inch toward the back end of the season, Marcus. Be sure to subscribe to everything North South Connection related on audio and any podcast feed, video here on YouTube, social medias. Don't miss any of it. I want to thank you for living your life above replacement level. And we knew our life would be so grand.
Wake up every morning, can't wait to embrace the day. I take my coffee by the pool. Yeah. I pass my picket fence and gaze across my new mowed lawn. I never thought my life could be this good.